sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
With us. Line up your Bruins thoughts and questions. 617-779-0985.
Yeah. Calgary in town tonight. One and only time this year. Bruins go out west next week to play them there. I think it'll be a good game tonight. I do. I think it's going to be a really good game. Calgary's trying to... They're a great road team. Better at road than home. Second of all, they're on that cusp of the playoffs, battling out in the west. I think tonight's going to be a heck of a game.
All right, let's talk about some of the chatter that's out there. Biggest chatter piece I think I've seen is that Patrick Maroon is...
It's one of them, yeah.
One of the names that the Bruins seem to be hot for.
Yeah, Patrick Maroon, big ringer, plays for the Edmonton Oilers. Had a nice year last year. He was 27 goals. He'd be a rental. He'd be a free agent to be. St. Louis kid. Don't be surprised that the St. Louis Blues don't make a real move for him, too, though, as they try and shore up their team heading into the NHL playoff season. You know, I can't imagine, talking to one executive actually earlier today, it just said, what's the level of chatter right now? And this is a guy whose team's out of the playoffs. And, of course, they're going to hear more because their team is out. But he said there's a lot of talk. He says it definitely, I mean, everybody seems to be talking right now. But, obviously, this is the same thing every year. You wait to see that first deal and to see what the value is going to be. You're going to ask for everything right now. Of course, you ask any GM or any player, executive player, director of player personnel exec right now, they're going to tell you that the prices are high. It's like selling a home. You ask for what you can get, and then you take what you get. And if you feel that it's not the right offer, you don't sell it. Same thing with a player. Maroon would be a nice fit, I think. Rick Nash is an interesting name. Michael Grabner is an interesting name. Both of those players are with the New York Rangers.
What's another name we mentioned last week or a week ago? What the hell was it? Damn.
Ryan McDonough, defenseman?
I don't know.
I'm not convinced that. I mean, that's going to be a hard trade to pull off in season unless there's a team that really gets, hungry. Because he'd be on your team for 2 years. So you'd have to offer up
a price to be paid
for that. Exactly.
So the way this thing's trending, and as you watch it,
the Bruins, you mean?
Yeah, you got to admit they're not a President's Trophy type team, right?
I wouldn't say that anymore.
So no, but I'm saying once this thing's over and you start lining up the playoffs and the way you re-rack it, is it better for them to sort of find water a little bit more to where you're going as a two or a three, as opposed to being
Two months ago, I was.
Because then everybody puts their expectations from it gets out of whack.
Either whether they finish one or two in the East or the Atlantic, for that matter. You know, right now they're 3 points behind with a game in hand on Tampa, and they play Tampa three times or twice? I know they've got them twice in the last eight games of the season. So they think it's twice. Yeah, either first or second. Doesn't really matter to me. A month, 6 weeks ago, I would have said, you got to be careful playing the Metropolitan Division because there's this thing that's called the crossover. If you're the number one team in the Atlantic, there's a good chance that you might be playing the number five team from the Metropolitan Division. That kind of bothered
me. Hockey's got that weird crossover.
Yeah, I don't love it.
It reclassifies itself.
Yeah, well, you get a wild card is what it is. Anyways, without getting too confusing for people listening, I was concerned about playing the second wild card out of the Metropolitan for a while. I'm not anymore. Now, New Jersey, I will tell you something. New Jersey goes at the bees hard. And the Bruins, teams that are lightning fast and get after them, that's the teams that the Bruins have an issue with. Straight line speed of New Jersey seems to give the bees an issue. And yeah, they found a way to win. Good for them. But it was sloppy for a while. I'm okay, though, with them going if they win the Atlantic and playing in the Met. I'm fine with that. You like what they're doing. I haven't loved the last three games. I love the fact that the goaltenders have done well. But, Beto, get back to your original premise, your question. Yeah, I could see them shopping. They've got so many good assets that are in the system and that are on the team at a young age that I've called it repetitive assets, which is not a, it's such a high compliment to what they've done that they're in a position of strength to make a move. There's no doubt about it. Now, you don't go crazy. You do not give up the farm. You don't go crazy because there's too much good stuff on this team right now.
Okay, which of the young guys would you be willing to give up? Say you got to pick one.
But it all comes down to for what? No.
I'm saying that it, assuming equal value, this isn't about what you're getting in return. This is about...
Well, but it has to be. That's
no, it doesn't.
It has to
no,
be.
No, it doesn't. You can have untouchables without knowing what you can say. I'm not giving up Charlie McAvoy for anybody. And yeah, that's a fair thing to say.
But don't we know that?
Yeah, you do. Yeah. I would. I mean, I'm not giving the guy up.
I think that they would listen on...
So, like, if someone calls up and says, I want Jake DeBrusque in a deal. Are you even willing to entertain it?
Yeah, like missing which guy would mess up your F up your mojo the most. You know?
I want Danton Heinen. Can I have him?
No.
Okay.
No.
There we go.
Hey, we're getting there.
We're getting there, Billy.
No,
Joe,
thinking,
Billy. We're getting there.
I'd like to say
play a game with Billy.
Keep DeBrusque. I mean, look, I'd like to say keep them all because all of them have a they've all made such an impact this year. But knowing
Brandon Carlo.
I think teams would maybe ask for him. I think they would ask for him, and I think depending on what you get back, you may consider. Maybe.
So he's not untouchable. I understand why he wouldn't be untouchable versus some of the other guys we named.
See, those guys have earned the core, you know? They're starting to form that core, that young core.
I mean,
to keep them.
I mean, here's the thing about Carlo. The thing about Carlo in particular, he's so young still. He is so young, and he has played a full season last year. Unfortunately, got hurt in his last game against Washington when Ovechkin gave him the concussion, missed the playoffs. But... You know, we've seen him play, we being the media fans, et cetera, and we think that he's probably more mature beyond his years, should be on the ice than he is. And yet, you ask any NHL defenseman who played, Denny Potvin, I was at the Islanders organization, used to say this all the time, 250 games minimum for a defenseman to be considered NHL ready. That's what he would say. That's when you're a vet. Not when you played 100 games. Not when you played 200 games. Get me to 250, and then you're talking a real NHL defenseman.
Wow.
Because that's how hard the position can be. And that's why Carlo, at times, people want more out of him. He needs to be more aggressive in certain areas. I'm not talking about crushing people.
Is that why they banged on Dougie so quick, too, though? You know?
That was more of a personality thing.
It just wasn't happening.
No.
Jeez.
Not in some ways. You saw a lot of greatness out of Dougie. And in other ways, you saw a lot of, I would just say it wasn't cohesive. How about that? It didn't always seem that way.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to jive always in his...
There was a softness.
I wouldn't...
Softness.
Soft?
Mentally.
Yeah. It's a character thing.
Okay. I would say it was more... It It didn't feel right. And if that's just a lame way of describing it. Maybe at times it just seemed hard. You know what I mean? It just seemed hard.
Yeah.
At times.
Hmm.
I watched a lot of The Office since I was sick.
Yeah.
A lot of, that's what she said jokes.
I'm glad you're healthy today. Thank you.
I mean, Hardy.
Glad you're back.
Let me just finish real quick. The fact is that Donnie Sweeney and his staff have done a beautiful job. And it started with Peter before he left the year before with the 2014 draft. But Don Sweeney has accumulated such a great amount of assets. And, you know, you still have your first-round pick from this year. And you got to be cognizant of not doing too much. But I don't know how much they want to give up anybody off this roster. A bigger deal might require somebody off the roster going somewhere. And, you know, you got to remember, you still have a guy like Anders Bjork who's injured right now. So you still have all that.
Mm-hmm. We got a call on the board about Rick Nash. Why don't we talk about that name and the level of interest that Don Sweeney may have in Rick Nash. We'll get to that coming up next here with Billy Jaffe on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the day.
It's true.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We get some rules.
to Joe in Dorchester. Joe, you're up next on Zolak and Bertrand with Billy Jaffe in studio.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about Rick Nash. You know, Billy, I think that the first and third lines of this team obviously have been great all year. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering what you would think of, you know, trying to trade away maybe Spooner and a third-round pick and, you know, slotting Nash in there with DeBrusque and Krejci.
Wait. Don't hang up on him. Do you honestly think that that's going to get you Rick Nash? Honestly?
I mean, he's a free agent after the year.
Do you think he's going that? Do you think a third round pick and that is going to get you Rick Nash
and Ryan Spooner and someone else in the system like a Bjork or someone?
Well, now you're throwing out other names. I talked to somebody on my way over here today. They felt at minimum it'd be a top prospect and a first round pick for Nash
for a rental.
Yep, yeah, that's what they're going to start with. The Rangers, believe it or not,
they're not going to get that, are they?
Rick Nash carries a value because of his 200 feet play. What's the proper term there, Hardy? 200 foot play? Yeah.
Sure.
And his history of having scored. He's not scoring nearly as much, fellas, this year. Just 17 goals in 56 games. By the way, he has 15 career playoff goals in 77 career playoff games. So if you're looking for him to be the big finisher on your team in playoff time.
Oh, he hung up, so I didn't hang up.
Sorry, bud. Sorry, but what do I think about it? I'm a fan of Rick Nash. Do I think that he would help the team? Yes, I do. Do I think it's worth a first-round pick and your top prospect? I don't think so. I don't. Now, the Rangers are willing to carry or take some of his money. He makes $7.8 million. They could maybe take some of his money. That increases the value of the trade. Because for the rest of this year, then, a team like Boston, like another team, could say, well, wait, we're getting him for half? Now that increases.
Would the Rangers carry that much of the salary?
I think they would go. They're allowed to go up to 50%. Yeah, I think for this year they would. If it increases the value of what they get in return.
You know, you start ripping up your team, too.
Did you hear what they did last week when you were puking?
No.
When you were aching? Did you hear?
No, I didn't hear a lot then.
Well, Glenn Sather and Jeff Gorton, the GM and president of the team.
Did you get that on the far stick?
What?
You ever did the Apple Fire Stick?
Oh, boy, stop.
It's unreal. This Google thing. It's Fire Stick, but you can't watch it.
Just do your best to ignore them.
Okay. Keep going. They came out last week in a very new age statement. They had a press conference, and they sent a letter to their fans saying, this is it, meaning we are going to make trades. This team has had a great run, and they have. For 4 years in the 2011-2013, they ended up playing more games than anybody in the NHL due to all the long playoff runs they had. They never won the cup, but they lost to the Kings in 14. Anyhow, they came out and said, folks, we're not going in the direction we want. We're not playing the kind of hockey we want. So then all of a sudden, it's going to be a fire sale in New York between now and the summer. They go and win the next few games. So now the players are basically giving the bird to management saying, you know, we're going to be all right here. At least Henrik Lundqvist is trying. Anyways, guys, long story short, they have the right to ask that. They're going to ask for as much as they can. I think if they absorb up to 50% of Nash's salary, they're going to get even more in return because the team's going to say. Now, here's the question, a rhetorical, I'll throw it out. Rick Nash or Evander Kane, who'd you rather have?
Kane.
Rick Nash.
Really? I'd rather have Rick Nash.
Rick Nash. Even though Kane does beautifully against the Bruins. He had a great game the other day.
He does, but if you're worried about locker room chemistry.
I would take Nash.
Yeah, Kane is a guy who could come in and unsettle things a
little bit. Remember one thing about Evander Kane right now, and he went through, I think it was a 14-game drought where he couldn't score. Kane is playing for his mammoth contract coming up. He is playing for that, and he wants another 5-6 year deal. I don't know where it would be. If I remember correctly, and I'm searching right now, I don't think, though, Evander Kane has ever played in an NHL playoff game. No, he does not.
Wow.
I don't see any stats on him playing in a playoff game. And if the internet is not working, somebody correct me. But it says right here, I'm checking the NHL site for playoffs. No NHL career playoff games.
Okay. So you're going to hold that against him? I mean, that's not necessarily his fault.
And say it's his fault, but...
But if you're looking for a guy to help you in the playoffs...
Are you less willing to give up something more
for... It doesn't mean he can't do it in the playoffs.
No, but do you want a player who's at least got it on his resume? Here's what...
That's the question. That's the question it comes down to. What I like about Nash is he can kill penalties.
I'll take Nash.
Nash kills penalties.
I'll take Nash over Evander Kane.
Nash, you know what? You know how I judge Rick Nash? When he's playing for Team Canada and they need a shutdown guy on a wing, he'll go out there. He's one of those guys. They trust him that much.
He'd be a good fit.
Yeah, I agree. But he would help this team. I think so. I do, but it's a big deal. Now, the other thing about Rick Nash, though, even though he carries a big reputation and he's got a big ticket, he does not have what you would call a big personality. So I don't think that he would impact the locker room. I think knowing him a little, I've done a lot of work with the Rangers over the years with the NHL Network and playoffs. He's a very amenable, very agreeable guy, almost soft-spoken at a time.
You're describing every Bruin.
You know what? You're not off. Yeah.
You're describing Patrice Bergeron or Zdeno Chara.
Yeah, so you're not off. Yeah,
good player, kind of quiet. Doesn't really have a
actually. That's one of the good and bad things about hockey. Yeah, he would. I agree. But that's going to be a big deal. Big deal. Minimum first round pick and a top prospect.
Okay, but that seems too high. That seems like that's the price that's being put out there by the Rangers right now. Absolutely. And it will inevitably come down.
Maybe.
But you'd be in on it if it were less than that.
I would, depending on the prospect at the time. I mean, the Bruins have got some great depth. I'm willing to listen. And I got to remember something. The Bruins, if they want a first-round pick this year, the Bruins right now, what are they, the third best, fourth best in the NHL? They're going to be drafting 27, 28, 29 in the NHL. I may be willing to do that. I may. I'm not a GM, so it's easy for me to say that. But I may be willing, if I truly believe, and I've said this on your show before, Beetle, your prospects sometimes are never at their highest value than when they're prospects.
So, meaning when they're unpicked?
No, when they're unproven at the NHL level.
When they're unproven.
Oh, so right after you pick them, basically.
Between when you pick them and between the American League, they haven't had a chance to show that they are just...
How about this? They haven't had a chance to show the world that they're not the next Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
That they're just hockey players. There's a bunch of guys who fall into that category of, you know, better than stink, even better than average, mm-hmm. but below elite.
Right. And therefore,
everybody hopes that that prospect is going to be an elite player. But right. the overwhelming majority of these guys are in the above average to less than elite range.
Right. But they're fit. They fill a perfect need.
Oh, they're role
need.
Players.
They fill a need. Right. And not many players can be the stars. That's why they're called stars. But anyway, so Beetle, if it's a... If I'm looking at a 27 to 28, 29 pick in the NHL draft, look, Bergeron was drafted in the second round, so let's not discredit a late pick. And a player that we say, okay, good prospect and an important prospect, but man, we've got three other guys like him in the next 2 years. I'd maybe be willing to do that.
I just want to throw this one out there before we get to the calls. This was a tweet from Kevin Paul DuPont yesterday.
Okay.
I'm curious to see what kind of a reaction it elicits from you. Milan Lucic, 29 years old, 5 more years at $6 million per. And he wrote, Bruins fans, would you want him back at a 50% discount, 5 years, $15 million? Would you take him back?
No.
No!
No.
Please, no.
I wouldn't. You know what it is? It ends up being... It ends up being the 5 years. I would love the $3 million, but the end up being the 5 years. I would get, because the first year he'd be back. You want to talk about, you know, honeymoon period? But then no. After
no,
that, no I said no.
They're getting younger. They're getting quicker. I said faster.
I said no.
Nope.
I said no.
What's I'm out name? On that. Zoes,
no.
you
out? Yo, don't go back.
Yeah. No. No.
No. No. No. No. I said no.
No. No. No. Ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm.
No. Thank you. Tom is in Londonderry today. Hi, Tom.
What's up, boys? Long time. How are we?
What's going on?
Before I get to my question for Billy, let's just thank the good Lord for a quick second that there are no more CBS Sports Minutes on this program and in the rest of the afternoon. Sorry for touching a ridge, but John Feinstein can go jump in a ditch and just disappear for all I care.
I miss him. No, I enjoyed them.
I stand by
them.
Physical harm on them.
I liked them.
You're a smart man, Harvey.
I like talking sports so that we could hear someone else talk sports for a minute.
We're also going to get my Wimbledon minute.
For 60 seconds.
Yes. We're gonna take time out from talking sports to hear someone else talk about a completely unrelated sports topic.
Billy, did
I hear you correctly saying that what you're hearing about getting Nash from the Rangers, it would require a first round pick and a top prospect? Is that what you've been hearing? Did I hear you correctly?
No, this is what you said. I said that that is what an executive thought, that that's what the asking. Nobody's put it out there yet that that's what the ask is. But
through private channels.
That's what they thought.
Private channels.
That's what they surmised it would be, a minimum. This is a guy that knows the Rangers well.
Leak source.
Not even a leak source. He's with a team. Anyways.
He's with a team in the league.
Don't be Borges.
League source.
Oh, stop it.
Multiple sources or one source?
But yeah, I get it. I would ask for a first round and a top prospect if I'm the Rangers.
I'll hang up after I ask this. Sorry to interrupt you, Billy. But would it be worth it? The acquisition was that I'm a casual hockey guy. I'm not going to act like I know it all. Basketball and football are my sports. But I know enough about Nash to know what kind of a player that he is and what kind of impact he would bring onto a roster like the Bruins. But giving up, let's say that that's the ask of us. Let's say that that becomes official, that the Rangers are looking for that kind of acquisition to give up Nash, even if it's just for a rental, and Nash says, yeah, I'm going to go test the market after this season. I heard you. I'm kind of with Beal. Unless it's a impact move that you know is going to thrust this team to the Final Four or to the Stanley Cup Final, I'm not sure if I'm willing to do that. As good of a player as Nash is, do you think it's worth it for a guy like him if it's a move that's going to bring the Bruins to a Stanley Cup or even, you know, a second game of the Eastern Conference Final?
What if you take nobody off your roster and what you're doing right now? Let's not forget this, folks, please. The playoffs and the regular season, how's this for analysis, are two big-time different things. And we have seen the maturity, or, you know, the maturation and the contribution of all these young players in no particular order. You know, DeBrusque, the Heinens, the Corrales, etc. All these young guys. But we're assuming right now that they're going to be able to do this come playoff time too. And I can't sit here and say that I know that they're going to be able to. And that's why management has to look forward and say, what if we have a little bit more competition? What if we have more depth? And now all of a sudden we've got guys that instead of relying on 6 first-year players, we're relying on 4 because we've added guys that can keep the competition, the internal competition up, and we've improved our team without taking a chance at hurting the camaraderie of this team. Why wouldn't you?
Billy Jaffe is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand talking some hockey with him. Right now we have Hardy with headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Calgary Flames are at the TD Garden tonight as the Bruins get back to work. It's a 7 o'clock drop of the puck right here with Judd Surratt and Bob Beers on the New England Honda Dealers, 98.5 the Sports Hub Bruins Radio Network. Celtics off until tomorrow when they host the Clippers. Some NFL news. New York Giants hiring Mike Shula as their offensive coordinator. Last spent time as the OC of the Carolina Panthers from 2013 to 2017. As Zoe was talking about earlier, a bad luge accident. Emily Sweeney, American luger, did avoid serious injury, though. She had a crash in Curve 9 of the luge run in South Korea. That Curve 9, treacherous. Walked away with a few bumps and bruises, though. However, she's now out of the competition. Also at the Olympics, 17-year-old American snowboarder Chloe Kim took the gold medal in the women's halfpipe. Men's snowboard halfpipe finals happen tonight. And an announcement from Major League Lacrosse today. The 2018 MLL All-Star Game will be returning to Boston, June 28th, Harvard Stadium. It's going to feature the MLL All-Stars taking on Team USA. Headlines are brought to you by Safety Insurance, providing comprehensive coverage for your auto, home, and business. Ask your independent agent about safety. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Hey, sports fans. Time for the weird,
Zolak,
the wild, Bertrand, and the unexpected.
How's his butt look?
Tight. It looks good.
Good.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Six 800-990-8585. What's so funny?
Nothing. Man, I missed 4 days, two days.
Were you grinding here in the final 20 minutes?
No, not at all. I'm all good right. To God, do another 4 hours.
We got a couple more calls we want to grab.
Let's do them quick, huh?
Got somewhere to be, Billy?
I got a game tonight.
Alex in Virginia. Alex?
Bruins game?
Hey, yeah, so I'm wondering if these big deadline moves ever pan out. I know last year, Shattenkirk went to the Capitals.
You're right.
And they forked over a ton of stuff. Didn't really work out. I looked up the history of this stuff over the last decade. I guess, like, Gavrik went to the Kings and they won a cup in 2014, but I think that was, like, quick.
Well,
rowdy,
remember,
you know.
Yeah, but remember this. You know, like, Vermette went to the Blackhawks, and at first it wasn't working, and then he was involved with them there, and it did. I mean, sometimes it works. Usually the mega deals are hard. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. But the deals that help fortify a team, those are the subtle deals that work. The Shattenkirk deal, that never seemed right going to Washington. Barry Trotz even said earlier this year, fellas, that Shattenkirk didn't end up being the type of player that he really thought was.
There are trades
right
that have
them.
Worked at the deadline, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ray Bourque going to Colorado, that worked, didn't it? I mean, that was a deadline deal.
It did, yeah.
There are a couple that have worked in Pittsburgh, though. Didn't Hossa go there at the deadline?
They've added, he went. He got traded twice and each time was runner-up. And then he ended up signing in Pittsburgh and winning. Or Chicago, I mean, Chicago. Chicago.
Wasn't Ray Shero known as like a good deadline guy?
Jimmy Rutherford, their GM now, is a great deadline
guy.
Right,
I know. I'm just saying Pittsburgh has been good at the deadline.
Yeah. And they're going to make a move. Pitt will make another move. And they're playing well. Pittsburgh has catapulted themselves in the second in the Metropolitan Division. I absolutely believe that they'll make another deal there. They're going to look for a third line center. Teams that are going to be interesting to watch with regard to trades. Detroit. Not really sure there's much off Detroit. Sorry, Hardy. That I would want. Mike Green will be traded. They're going to try to, maybe a few other players, middling players. What does Montreal do? I don't know. Ottawa. I don't think they trade Mike Hoffman, but if they get a huge offer for him, they might. Derek Brassard, the rumbling is that he could be going. Wouldn't surprise me. Ottawa's a pretty lame situation right now. Buffalo, Evander Kane. I still wouldn't mind trying to talk to them about a guy like Marco Scandella, but I think it would be hard to get him off the roster there. I'm curious to see what Chicago does. Chicago has got two guys in Kane and Taves that make $10.5 million. Going to be hard to move them, but they need to get younger there. They need to make trades. And then you got two teams like Edmonton and Vancouver and Arizona.
Kevin's in L.A. today. Kevin.
Good morning, fellas. And let me just add to the two chime-ins of the day. Welcome back, Zoe. And,
hey,
good
thanks.
Riddance, and good riddance, CBS sanctimony moment.
Yeah, adios.
Artie's very upset. Artie's very upset.
Let that door hit you in the ass, Feinstein.
So here's my question for you guys. A lot of times at this time, the gentleman asked about these deadline trades that work. And obviously we have the Recce situation here. And that's obviously something that you'd like to replicate. I actually think with Backes, we already have the Recce. I think, he's on the roster. He's been there for a while. But I think he provides that sort of thing that you would look for a guy like Nash. Only does it with more personality, more credibility. I just don't see them needing anything. And I'm just wondering from Jaffe, aside from Nash, if there's anyone else that he sees out there that could even bring in that veteran presence, if we even need it at all. And my vote is we don't need it.
Well, but you got to remember, you have to look past the right now. And I was saying this just a few minutes ago. It's, right now it looks like, well, you don't really need much. But what if, not actually, what happens when somebody gets hurt? Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And what happens when somebody starts not producing at the level that they need to? See, it happens over the...
You're terming this very well, because I did this to Krug about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and everybody laughed at me. As I said, eventually, these injuries are going to happen, and I went on with the 48-second question, which was the worst question in the history of questions in sports radio. But that's what I was getting to, that
what's
March... Yeah, that March... I don't see March malaise right before the playoffs, but...
Well, it's Feb is the malaise. March turns it on. Right now, the Bruins... And
But the problem was we always expected them to get that little skip step into March, and then ended up being a freaking malaise, and they would miss the playoffs.
Oh, well.
You know?
Yeah. Right now, this is kind of the dog days of the NHL, because it's...
Remember, you're waiting for Seidenberg to come back, and it's 4-6. They told us 4-6 with the knee, and then
or it's six, and it's like, oh, it's never going to get
longer.
Better.
I just, it's, I enjoy, I love this team. I love covering this team, talking about, they've shown
they
so
they
much.
Don't do anything to it. Then let's let this thing go. Now, let's not make any
But, how do you not really, not just kick tires, but how do you not look for serious reinforcement and to make this team better, considering how good Patrice Bergeron has been, how good Marchand has been, although the last couple of games he hasn't been great, but you know what I mean.
Well,
how,
I was off for five, too.
How fantastic a 40, soon-to-be 41-year-old captain in Zdeno Chara has been. How special Tuukka Rask and Anton Khudobin have been. Until a month or so ago, I'm like, I'm not sure. I think they're good. I don't know if they're great. I know that they're playing great, but when it's all said and done, now we're too far into it, fellas, where you say, how do you not go for it with this team? How do you not? And therefore, here's the good news. They don't need a mega deal. They don't need to crash or blow up the roster. They need to add the right type of thing. Nash carries a big name. I'm not saying he has to be the guy. He comes up regularly. Are there other players that could be? Depth guys. Pat Maroon from Edmonton. Can he skate well enough? I think when it's all said and done, he could fill a nice role here. He's got great size. 6'3", 6'4", 225, 230. Are there other players? I mean, nobody from Arizona does anything for me. People in Buffalo, if they wanted to move anybody, they all have term on their contract. You're not going to take that. I'm thinking of Detroit. No. Not many.
And that is Billy Jaffe's summary of events leading up to the NHL trade deadline.
You have a fun night tonight, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Great.
I'll have more for you.
Get your suit already?
I don't.
You got the dark one, the light one.
How are you feeling tonight?
Yeah.
It's going to be 50 out tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Yeah. So you're saying today, beautiful day, by the way.
You're
cool.
You got to set the tone for tomorrow. So it's kind of.
No,
maybe
I think
break
I might. I don't have. I got another new one coming. If that shows up, I might get it. But I think we'll go dark tonight.
Like that.
With a bright shirt and a bright tie. How about that?
Yes. All right.
Like it.
All right.
Like it, Billy.
Have a good night, Bill.
Gentlemen, nice talking to you, Billy.
I hope to see you guys next week.
You
again,
will.
Maybe this day again next week, because I have to go back to the NHL Network later in the week, so hopefully we can do it.
Alrighty. We'll sort it out.
Okay, see you guys.
We'll sort it out.
Glad you're feeling better, Zoe.
Thank you,
buddy.
You
look cruddy,
buddy. I feel great.
Today's takeaways are coming up next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right. Time for today's takeaways. Zolak and Bertrand with Hardy. Brought to you by our good friends at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Four locations now. Newton, Peabody, Quincy, and where else? Seekonk. That's right, Seekonk, down here in southern New England. Check them out, awaken180weightloss.com. Okay, fresh off a five-day flu. Got a chance to rewatch that awful Super Bowl 52 effort defensively. And it was a 15-12 game. And you had the Eagles 3rd and 4. At their own 42. And I think this is it. This is the play. This is the one I can't get out of my head. I can't get out of my memory. I'm scarred by it. This is Clement on a 54-yarder. Here's the call.
Snap to Foles. Throws a lob down the right side. Wheel route for Clement. Makes the catch past Richards. Runs away left to the 40. Carries to the 35-30. Breaks a tackle by Harmon. And eventually, he's brought down by Chung inside the 10.
Brought down by who? Patrick Chung, what was he doing as the deep safety there? That's interesting. Oh, he was out of position of his normal star position because they had Jordan Richards down in. Because you know what? There was one receiver to that side. It was 3rd and 4. They had one receiver to the split side, which was the right. And it was a simple rub route, meaning the receiver did a little in route and the back came out of the backfield, rubbed off him to do the wheel route, as Soucy described it there. And it is one of the most simplistic passings of communication. It's not a bunch. It's not motion to bunch. It's not a triple stack. It's not a double stack. It is a simple single-man route to one side with a back coming out of the backfield. That's your guy. That's your guy. And what do? You come up to the line of scrimmage 90 miles an hour, and you give up a 54-freaking-yarder right before the half to get the score to 22-12. 10 points again. That's ball game. Then you're scratching and clawing the rest of that way to get back in it. Then you finally take the lead and you still couldn't get off the damn field. Third and seven, third and 17. I should play the damn Zach Ertz play at third and seven later in that quarter. Woo! So, defensive game.
So player. I was still hot about that play.
Well, he watched it three times.
That was a package.
We, good, I mean, he was hot about it last
good?
Week.
We're going to do this package.
Packages.
So when he struggled, you did, brother.
That's about the packages. Yeah. Couldn't get him in there. Woo. About the packages.
Watch that. It's horrific. We tweeted it out last week, just the still shot of it. And then you tweeted out the actual video.
All right, let's get to yours. Welcome.
What do you got, Hardy?
Well, Zoe's back today. Welcome back, Scott Zolak. And, he's here physically. He's here mentally. He was back in every way that that it means for Zoe to be back.
I saw Jim Murray in typical Jim Murray fashion, which I love about him.
He ever go? Did he go to the?
Him and a ball.
Red Sox breakdown with him and another stiffy in the Nesson set. Oh, God.
Is Lyons back in the mix?
Stab me in the eye with plastic.
Now that the charges were dismissed, I think he might be back in the mix.
Long hair. Oh, yeah. Just give it to me. I can't get enough of that.
My takeaway is this. Hardy getting very upset with a caller who called with a story today about the House of Blues where Hardy was last night to see Marilyn Manson. Hardy said he didn't see too much activity in terms of mosh pits and crowd surfing.
Yeah.
This guy called to tell a good story. Here it is.
I was having some fun. First concert ever. It was a Rancid concert. And I crowd surfed. Not a good idea. I got dropped three times. The fourth time, I made it to the stage, but I actually fractured three vertebrae in my back.
Yeah, people usually get hurt with that stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, that floor is hard. Most dance floors are a nice plush carpet with a really good padding. Or they'll have like a bouncy...
like a wrestling room.
Or like a bouncy house type of dance floor. That, but yeah. You're right. That is...
Something inflatable.
Yeah, really.
I'm just saying.
Absurdly hard floor.
Like a waterbed.
I'm just saying. I didn't feel it until the next day when I got up.
Let me ask you this, Brainiac. When do you think you fractured the vertebrae? Was it the second or third time you got up on people's shoulders for the crowd surfing?
I'm pretty sure I fractured one each time I got dropped.
Good. All right. Spread it out.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. Still got nerve damage from that. It's fun.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
I can only say you deserve it.
It's fun. It was funny. Had fun.
Still got the nerve damage to this day. But man, what a great Rancid concert!
Still can't move three of my fingers. But hey,
but unless you've heard,
was awesome.
Unless you've heard,
kids, but
Ruby Soho live, then you can't say it's not worth a broken back. It really is. Oh, when they did Time
Literally
Bomb.
Broke his back.
Yeah, my C4 was in nine places. Totally worth it. Oh, so good. Stop it. People say it was a big mosh pit last night. How could it be? A bunch of middle-aged dudes there just trying to take in a little goth on a Monday night. Don't want to mosh.
God, that was a Monday.
It was a Monday. Oh,
today's only Tuesday?
Mars and I are looking at our watch. We're like, 9:15. What is wrong with him? Why can't he start this show already? Doesn't he know we've got a sitter? Come on, Marilyn. We know we want to go night-night.
Come on, Marilyn. Get this thing on the road.
Mr. Manson, honestly, we've been here for 40 minutes, sir. We've had our one drink. We'd like to go home and... be there like right at the 4 hour mark, so we only have to pay the sitter for the 4 hours. You start to go over, then you think, how much? Now I got to do math. Now I got to do fractions of math. Come on, let's go.
That's a good show.
Okay. Hey, Zoe, good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Glad you're feeling better.
Yes, sir.
We'll do this again tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Sounds good.
Okay.
I'll be
see you guys.
Wait, CBSC?
No.
Lido!
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.